Before we get started with today's show, I want to tell you guys about betonline.ag. It's time for the play-in tournament. Atlanta, Chicago, Philadelphia, Miami, dueling it out in the east. Out west, Los Angeles and New Orleans dueling it out. And then, right here in our hometown of Sacramento, we got Golden State, Sacramento, rivalry renewed. BetOnline has you covered with all the odds, props, promos, and parlays for all of basketball's play-in tournament and the playoffs beyond. And you can pick up a 50% welcome bonus using our promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, with the link in the description to this episode. BetOnline, where the game starts. Good morning, good evening, good afternoon, or good night. However and whenever it is you may be listening, thank you for stopping on into another fantabulous episode of the Take It Easy podcast, live on the Bleav podcast network, except it isn't live because it is, as always, a podcast. Welcome, 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 everybody. It is a fantabulous April 15th, according to my count. It may not be that according to your count, but we appreciate you stopping in, however and whenever it is you may be listening. If you are listening on Monday the 15th, hey, it's tax day. If you're someone who hasn't filled out your taxes, you should fill them out now. If you're someone like me who evades taxes, don't worry about it. It's just another day, another dollar in your pocket that's not going to the government. Anyways, what up, everybody? We got a fun show planned for you today. The NBA playoffs are set. All 20 teams are in, and 10 are gone. But four more are about to be gone. But we know the 10 tanking teams are already gone, because in the Western Conference, they already knew who the 10 teams were going to be going to the play-in like a week and a half ago, because the split between the crappy teams in the West and the good teams in the West, even just the mid teams in the West, the gap was fairly significant at the end of the season. So we knew who the crappy teams were in the West, and in the East, that's the conference that has Washington and Charlotte and Detroit, and we all could have told you going into the season that those teams were going to suck. So now we are down to the final 10 teams in each conference. And I just want to talk about the NBA playoff stuff today, because we're going to have a bunch of NFL draft contents swarming in over the next week. Probably the next time we'll talk NBA basketball is next Monday, after game one of the first round series are complete. So I kind of want to use today's podcast as like a playoff preview type of thing, while also talking about the thing that I want to talk about most, which is just Sacramento Kings, Golden State Warriors, first round play-in tournament that's being played on Tuesday, which granted is not the most important thing in the playoffs, but it is a personally important thing to me. Why? Because we work in and around the Sacramento Kings organization, and it's just really, really cool that in year two of working full-time in sports, we get to be around another Warriors versus Kings play-in duel. So that's the thing I want to talk about. We'll talk about all the playoff stuff coming up here, because now is when basketball gets very, very exciting. Most of what we said at the start of the season ended up ringing true when you look at the end results here. In the Western Conference, we said from last year's teams that made it deep to the playoffs, also known as the Lakers, Kings, and Warriors, and throw in the Memphis Grizzlies too, because their season got completely derailed by injuries. These teams all made surprise runs deep into the Western Conference playoffs last year. And the Western Conference got exponentially better over the offseason. The Nuggets were the defending champions. They were going to be coming back healthy, still as the number one team in the conference. The Thunder added a Rookie of the Year candidate, former number two overall pick, to pair alongside their all-NBA first-team guard from last year. Last year, Oklahoma City finished ninth in the West. If Oklahoma City had had a halfway decent roster, they would have been a top four team in the West, because Shai Gilgeous-Alexander carried them last season. If Shai Gilgeous-Alexander hadn't been on the 2023 Thunder, they would have been a top-of-the-lottery team, and he carried that team to the ninth-best record in the Western Conference. And you turn around this year, and you have Jalen Williams for the Thunder, who might win a Most Improved Player, or at least is going to be one of the finalists, along with like Kobe White and Tyrese Maxey and some people like that. But you put Jalen Williams in there as a number three option, Chet Holmgren, a Rookie of the Year candidate center, who's a former number two pick, the centerpiece of that rebuild for the Thunder, add them to Oklahoma City. At the end of the day, they won 57 games this year, number one seed in the Western Conference. And we did a whole podcast on Oklahoma City back in March, detailing how, you know, Oklahoma City might be good enough to defy rules and expectations of the sport and make a deep run through the Western Conference playoffs, despite the fact that not a single player on their team has playoff experience. If you want a whole 50-minute podcast talking about the Oklahoma City Thunder, February 26, 2024, Take It Easy podcast, all about Shai Gilgeous-Alexander and the baby Oklahoma City Thunder. I won't spend too much time on them, but hey, they're the number one seed. And they added Chet Holmgren to the mix, and look what they produced as results. They jumped all the teams that last year were deep playoff teams in the West. Timberwolves added Karl-Anthony Towns back after he missed 54 games last year. What do you know? They won 56 games, despite the fact that in the back end of that stretch, Karl-Anthony Towns wasn't even healthy for the Timberwolves. But you look up, they won 56 games. Clippers added an all-star guard in James Harden. The Suns added Bradley Beal as an all-star guard. The Pelicans added back Zion Williamson, an all-star forward who missed all of last season. And the end result, even though it was a little wonky to get there, the end result was all of these teams that added significant pieces got better. Meanwhile, the Lakers, Kings, and Warriors, who stood pat, fell back to the bottom of the pack. But now all 10 teams still have a puncher's chance of making a run in the playoffs, because if I told you that the 10-seeded Warriors got in as the 8 and were playing the Thunder in the first round of the playoffs, you'd probably say, if you'd been watching basketball, the Thunder will win. But it's Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors, and maybe they win two games, and now all of a sudden there's a Game 6 in Golden State, and Steph Curry goes berserk, and now we're in a Game 7, and hey, the Thunder didn't think they'd be going to 7 games in the first round of their first playoff series with everyone on the team having no prior playoff experience. But just to say, like, yeah, all these teams moved up in the standings this past season. We talked about before, the team you want to hunt is the Timberwolves in the first round of the Western Conference playoffs. Look up, Minnesota and the Suns matched up in the first round. The Suns had one of the most daunting schedules the back half of the season. Their last 10 games were all against teams that had an above 500 or better record. Every single team the Suns played the back half of the season made it to either the play-in or play-off. And the Suns went 7-3 against those teams to win 49 games and jump into the sixth seed in the Western Conference playoffs. I bring all of that up to say this. The Suns absolutely can beat the Timberwolves in the first round. That would not surprise me at all if the Suns were able to pull off that upset against the Timberwolves. If they were to pull off the upset against the Timberwolves, it would be a tremendous disappointment for Minnesota this season, because as we detailed last week when we did the whole episode on Alex Rodriguez and Mark Lohr and the ownership group of the Timberwolves, April 3rd's episode of the podcast, I know I'm just redirecting you to a lot of previous podcast episodes, but I don't want to rehash stuff that we already talked about on the show. April 3rd's podcast, we detailed how that's the team you want to hunt in the first round of the playoffs. And Phoenix got them, and Phoenix is a team that absolutely can knock out the Timberwolves in that round one of the playoffs. In fact, it might be one of the most closely contested first round matchups that we see in any part of the bracket, East or West. Obviously, we have some series that are still yet to be determined, but I'll say this for the Western Conference play-in. Lakers and Pelicans, I know you guys fought hard to get that 8-7 seeds. The Pelicans, it's going to feel like definitely a bit of a disappointment because they were hanging on to 5 for much of February, March, and then April, and then 5 became 6, and 6 on the last day of the season became 7, and I know that's going to feel like a bit of a disappointment for the Pelicans, and I know Brandon Ingram has been hurt. But the thing that sucks the most is that whoever wins that game got to go play the goddamn Denver Nuggets. And a healthy Denver Nuggets team as the 2 seed is going to sweep the Lakers or Pelicans. Sweep both of those teams. Maybe the Pelicans can get one game. Maybe the Lakers can get one game. But last year's Lakers team was better than this year's Lakers team. And last year's Lakers team got swept out in the first round by the, or swept out of the Western Conference Finals by the Denver Nuggets. So just a tough break across the board for you guys. And then the last matchup that I saved to talk about is Dallas and the Clippers, because Dallas is this really interesting and unique anomaly that I haven't really been able to pin down much this year. And this is what I mean by that. Last year, Dallas gave up a first-round pick to bring in Kyrie Irving at a time that it wasn't a great idea to could bring in a Kyrie Irving. Like, we are less than 2 months removed from the whole Hebrews to blank documentary scandal of Kyrie Irving that got him suspended for a whole bunch of games. It was a total desperation move from Dallas, who had made a whole bunch of mistakes prior to that that led to them acquiring Kyrie Irving, whether it was trading multiple first-round picks for Kristaps Porzingis, and after 2 years trading him away for pennies on the dollar in exchange for Davis Bertans and Spencer Dinwiddie, whether it was giving up an unprotected first-round pick in a previous deal that I can't remember what it was now, but they gave up a first-round pick that compromised their ability to make trades into the future. Whether it was the... I'm trying to remember. Dallas made a bunch of mistakes in dollars and draft picks over the previous few years. If I remember correctly, the Mavericks... Well, hey, I guess the Mavericks got a pick back from the Gafford trade. But I bring all this up to say Dallas... The Thunder? Who did they swap with the Thunder? The larger point is this. Dallas traded a bunch of draft picks that compromised their future ability to... their future ability to make trades like what they did when they acquired Kyrie Irving. They had 2 first-round picks at their disposal. They didn't move it, and there were some questions about whether Luka would come back. Then they signed... Last year was a total calamity. They missed the playoff altogether. They missed the play-in altogether. They finished as the 11 seed in the West. Luka has that whole press conference where he talks about, I'm not having fun anymore, and everything falls apart for Dallas. Then... they acquire Grant Williams from the Boston Celtics, and that move is another flop because Dallas, within 4 months, is shipping out Grant Williams for PJ Washington, attaching a first-round pick to the trade. And I'm looking at that trade in the first place and saying, I think Grant Williams is a better player than PJ Washington is in a vacuum, which means they're essentially attaching a pick swap to the deal to get out from a contract that they themselves signed less than 6 months prior. And so I look at the whole situation, I'm like, damn, the Mavericks are absolutely messing this thing up for themselves, and yet all the moves come back and the receipts show that, oh, wait, they're actually one of the best teams in the Western Conference in the second half of the season. And a smaller move that they made is they went to Washington and they acquired Daniel Gafford after they had originally tried to trade for Kuzma And Kuzma, for some reason, said he wanted to build in Washington, despite the fact that Washington would not be building with him because they will be ready to trade Kyle Kuzma at the second their championship window begins to open, which will be probably never. They're like 15-67 this year. They're like at the beginning of a rebuild that the Pistons started 4 years ago. Like, they are at the very beginnings of a long rebuild and do not have their future star on roster right now. But either way, Kyle Kuzma said he wanted to stick around in Washington, and so they traded for Daniel Gafford. And Daniel Gafford, after arriving as the starting center for the Mavericks, I think won the first 12 games that him and Luka played together. And the Mavericks completely turned a corner the second half of the season. They were an excellent team, an excellent road team as well, because they won 25 of their 41 road games this year. And that doesn't even, and they could have won another one if they didn't completely punt on the last game against the Thunder and lose by 50 points by starting all of their deep bench players. But Dallas ended up jumping to the fifth seed, and them against the Clippers is going to be an excellent playoff series, because I don't know what comes next for either team if they lose this game. I think if Dallas loses, they probably run it back with Luka and Kyrie and PJ Washington and Gafford as the core of the team and kind of just tinker around the edges this offseason. But if you're the Clippers, they have decided they are not going to bring back Paul George at the contract that Paul George wants. And it looks like the 76ers are interested in giving Paul George the contract that Paul George wants, which is $40 million a year over 3 to 4 years. But the Clippers have kind of made the call that, like, they're cool bringing it back with Kawhi, but, like, Harden and Paul George are both free agents at the end of the season, and the Clippers have kind of said that we are kind of okay with both of those players walking and maybe getting a sign-and-trade out of it at the very end. I just think that's such an interesting strategy, because I don't know if the Clippers, as presently constructed, are good enough to beat the Thunder in a second-round playoff series if they get there, because I think the Mavericks and Clippers might have the most evenly matched first-round series of the entire bracket, East or West. And it's so interesting to see this Clippers-Mavericks series come into fruition, because not only do you have both teams kind of at the crescendo of this current iteration, a clock on Kawhi, a clock on Luka. Will Luka re-sign? Will Kawhi still have a chance to be best player on a championship-contending team? Paul George is a free agent at the end of the season. James Harden is a free agent at the end of the season. The Mavericks are locked into Luka and Kyrie and PJ Washington and Gafford, but the Luka is coming up on a contract at the end of this. What is that going to look like as he reaches his MVP type form? And throw into the mix with that series, these guys have playoff history. In the bubble in 2020, they went to 7 games between the Mavericks and Clippers. In 2021, they went to 7 games, and the Clippers bested the Mavericks, and then Kawhi ended up tearing his knee in the next series, and the Clippers still beat the Jazz. But 3 years ago, this was a 5-4 in the Western Conference, and since the last time they played, the Clippers carried their victory against the Mavericks to the conference finals in 21, the Mavericks went to the conference finals in 22, and now both teams find themselves at the back ends of windows that opened 4 years ago when Dallas was playing the Clippers in the first round in the bubble, and Luka was hitting step-back buzzer beaters on the Clippers during that bubble playoff round that went 7 games. Then the following year, they come back and play another 7-game series where the Clippers best the Mavericks. Luka sharpened the iron of his young career playing against this Clipper team, and now 3 years later, he has a team that might be just as good as all of these old guys on the Clippers who he didn't have the ability to best the first time they played. And so now it's so interesting to see them match up for a third time. They have playoff history. They have battles against each other. It's virtually the same cores of their team. I know Dallas has made a lot of tinkers around the edges, but it's still a team that runs primarily through Luka Doncic. The Clippers are still Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, Norman Powell, Ivica Zubac, and these guys who were there 3 years ago when the, and Terrence Mann, who's still a Clipper, and he was the one who beat Utah in that playoff series 3 years ago. The Clippers still have the same core from 3 years ago. Dallas is different around the edges, but you still have the foundational piece of Luka Doncic. And hey, by the way, Tim Hardaway is still there. And I'm so interested to see how they match up in the first round, because the Mavericks are playing better basketball than the Clippers right now. But you look at the Clippers and say they are a deeper, more well-polished team, except for the fact that I've been wrong about the Dallas Mavericks all year long. And so at this point, maybe it's time to just stop believing that I can understand this Dallas Maverick team enough to give accurate prognostications on what their first round playoff matchup is going to look like. Maybe I just don't know what's going to happen in that series. All right, very briefly, let's slide over to the Eastern Conference here, because the Boston Celtics won 64 games, and the Boston Celtics are the best team by far in the Eastern Conference, and they should expect to win the Eastern Conference. And if you go back and listen to our podcast from February 28th, 2024, you'll get a full-scale breakdown of how the Boston Celtics elevated and extended their championship window. And so the Boston Celtics are the best team in the East, and you can listen to us talk about the Boston Celtics on our February 28th episode. Most of what we said still stands at this point with the Celtics. I bring all this up to say that the Eastern Conference will be more interesting once we know the first round playoff matchups, because the 76ers and the Heat are going to be the 7 and 8 in some order. The Sixers or Heat playing the Celtics and Knicks is going to be exponentially interesting. So I want to wait until I know which matchup is which before doing a deep dive into those Eastern Conference playoff matchups. Because here's the thing. I just want to touch on this very briefly before we move on. The NBA play-in tournament was a really fun idea, and it has caught on with people because it gives teams that are normally would be giving up on the season in February a puncher's chance to try and get into the playoff, or at least something to get excited about or something to engage with. In the Western Conference this year, it was a tremendous success. 46 wins in the West, which last year would have gotten you the fifth seed in the West. Okay, 46 wins would have gotten you the fifth seed in the Western Conference in 2023. 46 wins gets the Kings and the Warriors a first round play-in matchup. One game for your season in the 10-9. 46 wins gets you a 10-9 play-in matchup for the Warriors and Kings. And it's a tremendous idea. And I love the play-in so much because it delivers matchups like this. Warriors, Kings, LeBron and the Lakers against the Pelicans. Anthony Davis versus Zion. Remember that trade? It was like 5 years ago now. But remember when the Lakers and Pelicans made that trade for Anthony Davis and what would ultimately become Zion Williamson on the Pelicans? Hey, 5 years later, they're battling it out in the play-in tournament. 3 years ago, the Grizzlies and the Warriors forged the fires of what was about to become an epic rivalry by the Grizzlies beating the Warriors in the play-in tournament. You get these awesome one-game winner-go-home battles. We wrote a whole parody song about the Timberwolves chucking jerseys and kissing babies and crying after they eliminated the Clippers in the play-in round. It was awesome. It was a magical celebration. And those are the things that we've gotten to learn from the play-in tournament. It's a great idea. It's super fun. And the Warriors and Kings this year is a perfect example of why the play-in is so great, because it gives you drama and stakes and storylines in places that otherwise didn't exist. But Bulls and Hawks, get the fuck out of here. Like, that the play-in was not meant for you, okay? And the Bulls and Hawks have spent many, many years in the play-in tournament. We used to joke when they first started doing this during the 2021 season 4 years ago that the play-in tournament should be called the Greg Popovich Memorial 9-10 play-in tournament, because it was always Hornets and Spurs who had 36 wins and were just dragging their asses along to a play-in tournament. And lo and behold, it was just them inevitably waiting for the kiss of death that was a long rebuild. Okay? The Spurs and Hornets spent years fighting for the play-in tournament to avoid the slow kiss of death that was a 3 to 4 year rebuild. And Washington did some of this too. Washington had a couple years where they were there in the play-in as well. Bulls and Hawks, both of you should be rebuilding. both of you should be tearing this shit to the ground. If the Bulls and Hawks had been in the Western Conference this year, the Bulls and Hawks would have been the 12th and 13th seeds in the Western Conference. So both of those teams, fuck out of here. Get the fuck out of the NBA playoffs or play-in or whatever you want to call it. You don't deserve a postseason. And unfortunately, one of you is going to have to win and play against the Miami Heat or Philadelphia 76ers in a play-in for the 8 seed that I hope whoever makes it between the Bulls and the Hawks, I hope you lose by 25 points. Because you're not going to ruin this goddamn Heat versus Celtics first round series. Or you're not going to ruin this Joel Embiid versus Boston Celtics first round playoff series. Hawks and Bulls should both be eliminated right now. Heat and 76ers should just play for the 7 and 8 spot. One game, winner gets the 7, loser gets the 8. Unfortunately, the loser then has to host either the Bulls or Hawks, who I hope they beat the crap out of, because neither the Bulls or the Hawks deserve to be here. Both of your teams are shit. Bulls, I appreciate you trying to make things spicy by beating the Knicks at the end of the season, but they had to go to overtime and they couldn't beat the Knicks, and now the Knicks get the 2 seed. Which, by the way, congratulations, New York Knicks. You might have the second best team in the East, despite the fact that Julius Randle is out for a season, and despite the fact that OG Anunoby only played a limited amount of the season. I know the Bulls tried to make things spicy and interesting for the Bucks, but the Bulls and Hawks both can fuck off, okay? Last year, you both deserved to fuck off. This year, you both deserved to fuck off. Although, I will give the Hawks credit. Last year, they did win 2 games against Boston in a first-round series. But these are the most play-in of play-in teams. Neither of them deserve to make it to the playoffs. And if they ruin my goddamn Heat versus Celtics first round series, I'm going to be so pissed. So pissed. I hope whoever wins that 9-10 game loses by 25 damn points. Because neither of you, the play-in, this is not what the play-in was for. The play-in was not to ruin epic first round series between the Heat and Celtics. The play-in was designed for Kings-Warriors. The play-in was not made for Hawks-Bulls. Hawks and Bulls, both get out of here. Enjoy your lottery picks. Do not ruin our fun playoffs with the Heat playing the Celtics in the first round or the Sixers playing the Celtics in the first round, okay? Okay? Both of you, fuck right off. Now let's go back to that Kings and Warriors series. And this is how I'll wrap up today's podcast, because I've talked about pretty much everything else I want to cover today. Actually, here's the one other thing in the East I'll talk about. Bucks should be able to beat the Pacers. Bucks should be able to beat the Knicks. I don't know what's happening with the Bucks. Still think they're going to go to the Eastern Conference Finals. That's my spiciest of spicy takes. I think the Bucks are still good enough to make the Eastern Conference Finals. Despite the turmoil, despite the losing the easy teams, I still think the Bucks can go to the Eastern Conference Finals. If Giannis Antetokounmpo is not healthy, I redact all previous statements about the Milwaukee Bucks and Pacers in 5. Magic and Cavaliers might be the 6th and 7th best teams in the Eastern Conference. Might even be the 7th and 8th best teams in the Eastern Conference. And yet, both of them are going to play in the first round in a series where every single game is going to be on NBA TV. But one of them is going to get to advance to the second round of the playoffs, and it's going to be the biggest success either franchise has had in the last decade. So, good luck, Orlando and Cleveland. You both get to play each other for the right to get smacked by the Celtics, but whoever wins that playoff series is going to have their biggest success in the postseason in nearly a decade. For Cleveland, it's the first time they've had a puncher's chance of winning a playoff series since LeBron left. Last year, they should have been better than they were, but they got smoked out the playoffs by the Knicks. And Orlando, man, Orlando, the thing that's so interesting about Orlando, and I'll just touch on this briefly, is that Orlando got the number one pick in the 2004 draft and selected Dwight Howard. They rode the success of Dwight Howard for 8 seasons, then traded Dwight Howard and got back Nikola Vucevic. And then they took 8 years of Nikola Vucevic and made it to the playoffs a couple times, never won a playoff series, But they were at least a very good team. Their most successful run of the past decade was based off of that number one pick that they hit on two decades ago. And then they traded Nikola Vucevic and Aaron Gordon and someone else who I can't remember who it was now. But I remember at trade deadline day of 2021, they traded their entire team in like an hour and a half. Like within an hour and a half, their entire 8 years of rebuilding, the best team they've had since Dwight Howard was leading them to the championships in the early 2000s, the best team they had in a decade, they traded it all within like an hour and a half at the deadline. And that decision netted them the number one pick that became Paolo Banchero. They took winning the lottery in 2004 to draft Dwight Howard, and they took that for damn near 20 years. Like they carried 18 years of basketball off of that one number one pick that they hit, because they got Dwight Howard, they flipped Dwight Howard into what became Nikola Vucevic, and went from there. And then at the end of that run, they got another number one pick. They drafted Paolo Banchero. They made a good coaching hire. And now they're about to have even more success than that run with Nikola Vucevic in the 2010s. And I think that's pretty cool for Orlando, that you took landing the number one pick in 2004, extended your success for 18 years. You had a couple rebuilds in between, but for the most part, were pretty successful for 18 years. At least had a team worth watching for 18 years, minus about 2 years. And then they brought in Paolo Banchero, and now they have a super exciting team with multiple Wagners and Jonathan Isaac, who feels like he's been there for like 80 years now, but is somehow only in year 8 with Orlando. Markelle Fultz was a reclamation project for them. Gary Harris was a player they got out of the deal for Aaron Gordon. What's his name? Cole Anthony was a mid first round draft pick. That's at least a fun fan favorite. Jalen Suggs was a lottery pick. Like, yeah, they've got a fun little team there. It's pretty cool. And they might win a playoff series, which will represent the most success they've had since 2011 in an NBA playoff season. And that's super cool. Congratulations, Orlando. Cleveland might have a chance of winning a playoff series for the first time since LeBron left. Congratulations, Cleveland. One of you is going to advance to the next round of the playoffs, even though the Celtics and the Knicks and the Bucks and the 76ers and the Heat and maybe the Pacers are better than both of you. And that's pretty cool. Now Kings Warriors. Kings Warriors is going to be a perfect matchup. I am so freaking excited for Kings Warriors. As someone who's covered the Kings the entire season, I would have sacrificed the sixth seed in the Western Conference, a guaranteed 7-game series against the Minnesota Timberwolves, a team that I think the Sacramento Kings can actually beat in a 7-game series, because I think any of these teams 6 through 10 could beat the Timberwolves in a first-round playoff series. I would have actively sacrificed the sixth seed in exchange for this one game in Sacramento against the Golden State Warriors. Because the Sacramento Kings are not good enough to win an NBA championship. Their best player is Domantas Sabonis. And while there's a case to be made for Domantas Sabonis being a first-team All-NBA player this year, it's probably not going to happen. And he's probably still barely a top 10 player in the sport, if he's a top 10 player at all in the sport. And he's just not the best player on a championship team, even if you give him an all-star teammate like De'Aaron Fox. It's just that the people call him Diet Jokic, and he has all the triple-doubles and all the stuff like that, but you know what? Domantas Sabonis doesn't have a go-to bucket the way that Jokic can shoot 40% from three, or how Jokic can hit the step-back driveway Dirk shot over a defender that's playing great defense. Sabonis just doesn't have that in his game. He doesn't have a go-to scoring threat in his bag of skills the way that Jokic does, in addition to being one of the great passing centers and in addition to being one of the top rebounders in the league. Jokic has an offensive game where he can score with an unguardable shot, and Domantas Sabonis does not have that. And that's a pretty significant gap when push comes to shove, especially offensively. But the Sacramento Kings are not good enough to win a championship. But rivalries can get you engaged in a sport in a way that, if you don't have championship expectations, you can feel as engaged as having championship expectations. And the Warriors and Kings have a real ass rivalry. That playoff series last year was the best first round playoff series of the last decade. The NBA ratings bore that out. National TV ratings for Kings Warriors was the best in any first round series in 12 years. Kings and Warriors was a legitimately awesome series last year. And Steph Curry dropped 50 points in a Game 7 in Sacramento's building. Steph Curry owns and operates the Golden 1 Center. The Kings pay rent to Steph Curry, because Steph Curry has come into that building and beat them time and time again, including a 50-piece in a winner-go-home Game 7. Last year was so incredible for the Sacramento Kings, and being a part of it was absolutely magical, and we detailed it a whole bunch on this podcast as we were going through this experience. And this year hasn't not been as magical for Sacramento. However, if they get to be the team that eliminates the Golden State Warriors, if this is Klay Thompson's last game in Golden State, if this is theoretically Draymond Green's last game in Golden State, if this is the game that puts an end to the Warriors' big three as we know it, in the way that Oklahoma City beating the Spurs in 2016 was for all intents and purposes the end of the Spurs dynasty. If this is how they put Golden State to bed, if after 13 years together, this is how Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, and Draymond Green play their last game together, is playing in Sacramento and losing to Sacramento, you just got a notch back in that rivalry. Because the Warriors got you last year. The Kings looked like they were going to get them last year. It was a hell of a series. 7 games, rivalry back and forth, bad blood on both sides, Steph Curry talking shit, Kings being so close to putting them away in a series they should have won in 5 and maybe 6 games. But the Warriors got them. The Kings come back. They put an end to the Warriors. And now you got yourself a rivalry. And I'm so excited for this to be the first round play-in series. It's going to be so much fun. There's so many stakes. There's so many storylines. And yes, I've been invested in a good majority of them because I've been here in Sacramento. But this is how you forge real and lasting rivalries. Even if Klay Thompson leaves, even if Draymond Green leaves, even if this is the last run for the Warriors, think about how the Warriors and Grizzlies started that rivalry. Back when the Grizzlies knocked him out of the play-in, and then the Warriors knocked him out of the playoff, and the Warriors went on to win the championship. Remember how Ja Morant was talking like, oh yeah, I'm not worried about the Warriors the next year. And then the whole thing unraveled for Memphis, but that's besides the point. It was headed towards a crescendo in a year three. We are legitimately making the Warriors pissed at us. And the Warriors are coming in and saying, oh, you know, who is this team or whatever? And they're going back and forth and taunting each other. But it was actually engaging. It was actually interesting. The Warriors-Grizzlies rivalry was that. And the Kings can do that too. And the Kings can do it by beating this team and knocking them out. Or the flip side of it is, the team that wants to come after the King, want to come after Steph Curry, want to put the final nail in the coffin in this dynasty, and the Warriors tell them to fuck the hell off. If Steph Curry goes into Sacramento and wins again, oh, devastation for Sacramento. Emotional devastation. That this dude who put up 50 in your building last year in a Game 7 is going to come in and knock you out of the playoff again. Because by the way, this is the end of the Beam team. Like, Kevin Huerter's probably not coming back for the Sacramento Kings. I don't think they're going to come back with Harrison Barnes. Like, Fox, Sabonis, and Keegan Murray are probably the only pieces that you feel like are guarantees to be back in Sacramento next year. But even if they get a strong offer, maybe one of those other players is on the table. Like, the Beam team that has been going on in Sacramento, this is their, that they ran it back with the same group of 8 players. It was De'Aaron Fox, Kevin Huerter, Malik Monk, Harrison Barnes, Keegan Murray, Domantas Sabonis, Davion Mitchell, Trey Lyles. Those 8 players that were the Beam team in 2023, they ran it back with the exact same team. After the magical run that you never see anywhere, they brought back the exact same team and ran it back. And if the end result is another one game elimination against the Warriors. Oh, absolute devastation. Absolute devastation. Because like we just talked about with the Orlando Magic and the Cleveland Cavaliers, this is the most successful Sacramento Kings team in 20 years. The Beam team, which is the eight players that I just described, Fox, Herter, Monk, Barnes, Keegan Murray, Domantas Sabonis, Davion Mitchell, Trey Lyles. Like, that team is going to matter a whole hell of a lot in the history of Sacramento basketball, a franchise that does not have a lot of history. That team's going to mean so much in the grand scheme of things. And if both of their seasons, that core of eight players, and granted Malik Monk is out, Kevin Herter's out, but I say like the core that is known as the Beam team, if they get bounced in the first round by the Warriors in a year where they were better than the Warriors. They were simply better than the Warriors last year. If they get bounced by the Warriors in round one in seven games, and they get bounced by the Warriors in the play-in round in 2024, oh, devastation. But that's the joy of the game. Don't we want to be entertained? Don't we want a show? Don't we want a duel? Like this? Stakes, storylines, drama, entertainment, action. The Kings could play the Timberwolves and get none of that in a first-round playoff series. But this one battle, Warriors going into Sacramento for a play-in round game, one game, loser, season over, winner advances, nothing like it. Nothing like it. And you add in the rivalry. You add in the narratives of Steph Curry and Draymond Green and Klay Thompson. You add in Sacramento Kings, De'Aaron Fox, who is part of the Curry brand, Harrison Barnes, former Golden State Warrior, who missed the game-winning shot last year in Game 4 that would have put the series ahead. So many good stakes, so many good storylines. I wanted this game so very badly. One game, win or go home, season on the line, Kings-Warriors. Was hoping it would be in the 7-8 game. Maybe it would be in the second round of the play-in, the last playoff spot. Like, the Warriors were 10, the Kings were 7, both lost, and now we get Kings-Warriors for the 8 seed. But now we got 10-9, Kings-Warriors. It's going to be epic. Epic. 5-star sporting event. And yes, I'm very close to it, and yes, I'm trying to sell you on this play-in tournament round. But there will not be a game, a single playoff game, that has a better chance of being a 5-star duel than this Warriors-Kings play-in tournament game. It's going to be epic. Epic. And I can't wait to be a part of it. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for stopping in here to the Take It Easy podcast. We have episodes every Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday. And we are so excited to be following this NBA playoffs, our 5th NBA playoffs here in the history of the Take It Easy podcast. 5-star reviews, downloads, follows, they are all greatly appreciated. We appreciate your continued support of this fun and fine programming. We have episodes the rest of the week, probably revolving around the NFL draft, still to be ironing out some details, but we're very excited for whatever and however we get to share our fun sports world with you. And for you guys, we appreciate so much that you continue to support our dreams. Thank you for stopping in. We will talk to you on Wednesday. In the meantime, take it easy.